And 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Prosecutors in Donald Trump's hush money trial could complete their cross-examination today of former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. He was on this. He's been on the stand all day to Thursday,
detailing how the magazine bought the story of former Playboy model Karen McDougal's alleged sexual relationship with Trump before the 2016 election and quashed it, a tactic known as catch and kill. Pecker described a thank you dinner at the White House and a meeting at Trump Tower where Trump said, "I want to thank you for handling the McDougal situation." Then asking, "How's our girl?" Pecker says he replied, "She's quiet. Things are going fine."
ABC's Jay O'Brien. The Environmental Protection Agency issued a new rule requiring coal-fired power plants to capture smokestack emissions or shut down. The government reported a big slowdown in U.S. economic activity during the winter, gross domestic product increasing 1.6%, down from 3.4% in the fall. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the Bucks and the Pacers as their playoff series tips off tonight in Indianapolis. Damian Lillard.
First, you got to understand it's going, you know, every game is going to be a tough game. You know, anytime you go on another team's home floor, you got to know that they're going to be more comfortable. They're going to be more confident. They're a team that already plays fast. They're going to play a little bit faster at home. And I think that's when we got to lean on our experience.
The series stands one game apiece. Baseball, Brewers and the Yankees at AmFam Field tonight. Football, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. Coming up, the Packers using their first pick on Arizona offensive tackle Jordan Morgan.
Feels so great. I mean, I've been watching David Bakhtiari, following him and studying his play. So, I mean, it feels like such an honor to be able to go to Green Bay and play.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
To me, it was just, you know, I think we needed to add some things to that group. And this Jordan just fit us.
That's Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, Donald Trump's legal troubles are so numerous, we've had to add a weekly segment with a former U.S. attorney to sum it all up.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers, even a few thunderstorms by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 56, with wind out of the southeast gusting to near 35. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, breezy, warmer with scattered thunderstorms and a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Trump trial, more Packer talk, and your Friday grievances. Only on the Devil's Advocates radio show. You made it to the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You rainfall reporters are going to be busy all weekend, no matter where you are in the state of Wisconsin. Good morning, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke along with you. Welcome to a Friday. Our folks in the La Crosse area, you're probably going to see rain during your morning commute. The Madison area, probably rain by early afternoon. Southeast Wisconsin, you're probably not going to see much rain until later this evening. The good news, daytime highs today are expected to touch out right around 52 degrees. Tomorrow, 66, with more showers developing Saturday night into Sunday. Sunday's highs, right around 63 degrees. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist along with us. I want to know if we're going to see any severe weather out of this. He'll have those details. We've got more details for our dairy industry this morning on a federal mandate that goes into effect on Monday, requiring dairy farms to test any lactating cow that's going to cross state lines. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin State Veterinarian Darlene Conkle, talked with media yesterday about how the America's Dairyland is going to be approaching this. Stick around for those details. We're introducing you to another Alice in Dairyland finalist that was intimidated by farmers when she was young. Stick around for that story. And talking about rural vigor, trying to keep our rural communities intact and thriving. It is a goal of Compure Financial. How are they hoping to attain that? We'll talk about it.
Fast growing, safe on seed, nutrient rich. Fuel up for a winning season with Paraline, the ultimate in-furrow starter fertilizer by CHS. This all-in-one liquid fertilizer combines advanced enzyme technology, a low-salt formulation, and patented chelate to develop strong roots faster and emerge ahead of the pack. Call your CHS agronomy representative to place your Paraline order today.
Wisconsin is moving away from carbon-based fuel like coal and moving toward renewable energy like solar. This means there's more opportunities for farmers to add value to their farm with solar arrays. But you're going to want to proceed with caution. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Bill Omekin joins us in studio. He's a professor of practice and law with the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says it's important for farmers to think carefully before signing solar agreements. He comes at it with a cautionary lens because these are long-term contracts. He outlines common mistakes that people run into when signing these agreements.
I always get a little nervous when you have new types of developers coming out and dangling a lot of money in front of people, and people haven't really had much of an opportunity to think about what are the long-term implications, much less the short-term implications. So in the case of solar, we're talking about a 20-year contract, typically, to lease land, and you're being offered somewhere between $500 to $1,200 per acre per year for that contract. And for some farmers, that's going to be very attractive, particularly depending on where we are in the farm economy. The challenge is that, again, this is a 20-year contract, and especially if you're a producer looking to transition to the next generation, does the next generation want to tie up 40 acres in a solar array? But in the short term, have you really thought about how you'd use those 40 acres and whether or not you're going to change that use over time? Once you've leased it, you no longer really have control over it.
When you are now sharing your property with a developer, for example, are you losing out on some of your property rights?
Well, I think the largest potential implication is use value taxation. That's generally been very beneficial to farmers across the state of Wisconsin. And it is not clear whether a solar array on top of ag land still qualifies that ag land for use value. Some assessors are saying yes. Some assessors are saying no. When I've talked to the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, they're not quite certain what their position is. So you do take a risk that suddenly the taxes on that land are going to go up considerably.
So the political landscape is also changing around the category that you'd put renewable energy into.
the support for renewable energy tends to be relatively consistent, but what we've seen, particularly in other states, is once a party replaces the party that was in power, either suddenly they become much more supportive of renewable energy or much less supportive renewable energy. So yeah, you're tying up your land in a 20-year contract, but the support for that type of renewable energy may either increase or decrease over that time period.
So again, some of the things you should be thinking about before putting ink to paper: what does the next generation on the farm want? That succession plan.
Right.
Maybe some of the tax questions you need to ask. What about can you build on your farm when they do construction on there? Like, do you have to start asking permission?
I'm going
to
give a really lawyer-like response to that, and that depends. Depends on what's in that contract or that agreement. And that agreement may say that you cannot build a farm building next to the solar array to block the sun. And if that land next to the solar array was the best spot on your farm for a farm building, realize you've contracted that away. And if you attempt to do that, that's a breach of contract, and that developer can bring a lawsuit against you and force you to have that building removed. So there are rights that you give up, and that's why I say read the contracts carefully. Consult with knowledgeable legal counsel at the time that you're looking to contract.
Privacy, maybe that's something to negotiate too. When can they come onto the farm for maintenance and construction? And do you lose out on some of that, the privacy that a farm owner gets?
Yeah, you do want to make very clear in the contractor agreement what roads on the farm can be used by the developer. There'll be the initial construction stage, and then you'll also have the 20 years where the solar array is being used or producing energy, and they'll need to come onto it from time to time for maintenance. And you'll want to make clear what roads can be used. If you have an important road that's on the property that's been leased, you want to make sure that you've retained the ability to use that road, because if you don't read the contract carefully, you may contract that away.
Any concerns over, can I still hunt on my land? Can I still, you know, ride my ATV in that area of the property? Does that come up?
I haven't seen that come up a lot, but those, again, are considerations you really need to think about. Most solar developers are not going to want hunting in and around their solar array for fear that bullets will destroy the panels. But will there be any restrictions on any kind of farm use within a certain number of feet of the solar array as well? Those are things that you'll want to know. And in addition to that, you'll want to know, can I do anything underneath that solar array? Can I still do some ag practices? A lot of research being done where you can graze livestock under solar arrays, and that works well. That would be an argument for retaining use value taxation as well. Those are things that you're going to want to know in advance before you sign the dotted line. And don't just sign with the first contractor who comes to you. Chances are, if one contractor's come to you, others are going to as well. And you may get a better deal, more dollars and fewer restrictions from that later contractor.
And again, these are things that you don't just have to think about, am I going to want this in the next year? It's things you're going to say, do I want this over the next 20 years?
That's right. Think forward. A lot of us are not really conditioned to think forward. We tend to live in the moment. And especially if we have monetary needs that are pretty immediate, but you do need to think forward 20 years.
Past that, can you require that the developer decommission that after the contract is up so you can continue doing whatever else you want with the land?
Stephanie, that's a great question. And there's kind of two responses to that. In one case, the developer will say, well, when this 20-year agreement has expired or whatever the term is, that you can have ownership of the solar array. And the farmer might think, well, that's a great deal. I'll be producing all this energy. But solar arrays degrade over time and they get much less efficient. So but at the end of the 20 years, you may not actually be producing a lot of energy. The other side of it is I highly recommend that there be a bond provision in that agreement. So you require a bond to be taken out by the developer so that there is money available to remove that solar array at the end of the 20 years if you as the farmer decide it should be removed.
How big are these contracts typically? You said there's usually a lot of provisions.
Contracts typically are 10, 12 pages long, a lot of complicated language. And that comes from someone who's been doing contracts for about 35 years as well as a lawyer. And so that's why it's really important to know what each provision means and what your options are.
Bill Omakin joining us in studio, professor of law at the UW-Madison Division of Extension. He says there is a fact sheet on the Division of Extension website under local government. It has a lot of information on contract agreements and what to watch for and how to understand them. Extension cannot be a farmer's attorney, and he advises consulting with legal counsel before getting into a solar agreement. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on childcare. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
That's
off.
What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly
Todd.
Right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
you would just start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We'll talk about the overlooked accomplishments of the Biden administration and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Specifically, for farmers that have pharmaceuticals on hand on the farm, from day-to-day opportunities to make an animal feel better, right on through to medication that is kind of taking care of an animal through stages of disease or sickness, farmers generally are accustomed to having some of those pharmaceuticals and having access to them. But the Food and Drug Administration has changed the prescription-only rule for farmers. And that means that some of the common items that they've had on the farm suddenly were very difficult to get a hold of. Now Blaine's Farm and Fleet has stepped into that space, providing essentially prescription drug possibilities for farmers. Chris Ramos is with Blaine's Farm and Fleet and explains a little bit more about the Food and Drug Administration's actions and what they're doing to try to help farmers.
So the FDA actually decided that many of the prescriptions that are for farmers and for mainly horse owners needed just an extra step of regulation and started implementing a prescription only rule for many medications that were very, very common for farmers. I think one of the bigger ones that people were talking about was the oxytetracycline. And that is just something that farmers use on a daily basis, almost as common as like ibuprofen. So it became one of the items that I think was a catalyst for farmers to figure out what alternatives are out there and who can actually make this process easier. And that's kind of where Blaine's Farm and Fleet stepped in.
Chris Ramos with Blaine's Farm and Fleet. So farmers, producers, they're still working with their veterinarian to get the prescriptions that are needed for any of the product to be dispersed. But a lot of farmers don't have the extra time for that step. So basically, that's where Blaine's Farm and Fleet steps in.
Looking at Animal RX as another outlet to help service our farmer friends, we built an infrastructure so that your prescription drugs, it still has to start with a prescription. So we always tell everyone it starts at the vet. we are not becoming the vet, but it starts at the vet. And then we can fill those prescription drugs for farmers. It's online, farmandfleetrx.com, and our program is called Animal RX. Big reason why we had Animal RX is because, again, there are a lot of prescriptions that your pet owners, as far as even dog owners, will need, and we can fill those on the site.
So, again, kind of like, I guess you'd say the Chewies or something like that, where you have a prescription, but you need someone to vend that for you. Farmers are already making trips to Blaine's Farm and Fleet. This is one way to ease that responsibility. But like he said, it still all starts with a prescription. Let's get started with weather now. Stumach Ag Meteorologists coming in with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Yeah, I remember, you know, we always had something in the refrigerator out in the barn, or there was always something that you wanted to have around in case something got sick. It's a whole lot more complicated than when we were farming, hey, Stu?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, we had that bottle of penicillin or Combiotic, and that cow doesn't look right. Just give her a shot.
Yep. Lots has changed, and it's nice to be able to streamline the process, make it a little easier on the farms at least. Let's talk about this weather. This is not going to be an easy weekend. I kind of feel sorry for anybody that's got outdoor plans because it could be a hit or miss, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be getting a lot wetter around here, pretty windy too over the next several days. Those winds, I think, will be the big noticeable part of it all, but there is going to be some rain. In fact, low pressure is in Nebraska, just far southwest Nebraska this morning. I expect it heads up to Minnesota into the day tomorrow. Out ahead of the front, there's this line of rain. Showers, could be some moderate rains, northern Missouri, western Iowa, some more rain up into southwest Minnesota, eastern South Dakota, central North Dakota, a real line forming. It's going to march east. Will it affect Wisconsin? Late this afternoon, western Wisconsin first by 3 or 4 o'clock, eastern Wisconsin not till 5 or later, but showers develop. And we could talk upwards of a tenth to a quarter of an inch yet late today. Rain sticks around overnight, could add up a bit more. That low moves up into Minnesota. We still expect plenty of moisture to force north. Maybe not as much rain Saturday early and again later in the day. But Saturday night into Sunday, more likely more widespread shower and thunderstorm activity. And all in all, that's where those amounts will be adding up. Pretty easily, I expect, into the near half to one-inch range, and even more with some of the thunderstorms. It's going to be a wet weekend, breezy too, wind gusts at least up to 30 miles per hour almost every day right into early next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our travel compass is pointed east. Hello, everyone. Farm Director Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on our captivating Cape Cod tour, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a tour of a nearby dairy, then a ferry ride to Martha's Vineyards where we'll meet alpacas, plus an unforgettable sand dunes adventure. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information and to watch a travel show, or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, the Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast does start out still pretty nice this morning. We'll even see some of the sun, but the clouds will develop, becoming mostly cloudy. Late afternoon showers, could even be a thunderstorm by evening, a breezy day in the upper 50s, maybe still around 60 in western Wisconsin. Southeast winds 10 to 20. They'll gust around 30. Overnight, temps may drop a little early, but cloudy skies, showers, possible thunderstorms, and more likely again toward daybreak tomorrow. We see that. Those temps drop a bit but rise, probably into the upper 50s or near 60 by daybreak tomorrow. Southeast winds gusting to 25. mostly cloudy Saturday, showers and maybe a thunderstorm, especially toward the afternoon. Now, I'd expect daytime temps in the mid or upper 70s, with the southwest winds gusting to 30 and still some shower or storm possibilities Sunday, only about 70, upper 60s further north, and southeast winds gust to 25. Rain should finally taper off and end through Monday, Pam, and then a slight chance of a little sprinkly shower stuff could build back in again later Tuesday.
Well, we're going to settle the dust fast then. Sounds good.
All right, I would believe that's it. Hopefully it does good for what's been planted.
Well, we'll see. All right, buddy. Talk to you on Monday. Thanks, Stu.
You bet.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Find out more, including all their local resources, at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Justice Department announced changes to its voting rights information and violation reporting page on April 17th, including a new guide on voting-related language assistance and a video explaining how to report voter intimidation. The updated page, justice.gov/voting, includes voting rights guides on Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and other voting laws, access for voters with disabilities, election monitoring, state voting rules for people with criminal convictions, and several other topics. New in this update is an explainer on voter intimidation, including what constitutes threats, obstruction, or deliberately false information about the time, manner, or place of voting to prevent people from casting their ballots. A companion video explains how to report intimidation to the DOJ. Another new section gives guidance on Section 203 of the Voting Rights Act on accommodations for non-English-speaking voters, referred to as language minority citizens. This group includes Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, and Alaskan Natives. An existing guide concerning federal constraints on post-election audits was also updated, as well as the DOJ's guide to voting under the Americans with Disabilities Act and other federal rules. Instructions and points of contact for reporting voting rights violations are also listed. We have a link to justice.gov/voting at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Prosecutors in Donald Trump's hush money trial could complete their cross-examination today of former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. He's been on the stand all day to Thursday.
Detailing how the magazine bought the story of former Playboy model Karen McDougal's alleged sexual relationship with Trump before the 2016 election and quashed it, a tactic known as catch and kill. Pecker described a thank you dinner at the White House and a meeting at Trump Tower where Trump said, "I want to thank you for handling the McDougal situation." Then asking, "How's our girl?" Pecker says he replied, "She's quiet. Things are going fine."
ABC's Jay O'Brien. The Environmental Protection Agency issued a new rule requiring coal-fired power plants to capture smokestack emissions or shut down. The government reported a big slowdown in U.S. economic activity during the winter, gross domestic product increasing 1.6%, down from 3.4% in the fall. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few $100 in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the Bucks and the Pacers, as their playoff series tips off tonight in Indianapolis. Damian Lillard.
First, you got to understand it's going, you know, every game is going to be a tough game. You know, anytime you go on another team's home floor, you got to know that they're going to be more comfortable. They're going to be more confident. They're a team that already plays fast. They're going to play a little bit faster at home. And I think that's when we got to lean on our experience.
The series stands one game apiece. Baseball, Brewers and the Yankees at AmFam Field tonight. Football, rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. Coming up, the Packers using their first pick on Arizona offensive tackle Jordan Morgan.
Feels so great. I mean, I've been watching David Bakhtiari, following him and studying his play. So, I mean, it feels like such an honor to be able to go to Green Bay and play.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
To me, it was just, you know, I think we needed to add some things to that group. And and Jordan just fit us.
That's Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers, even a few thunderstorms by late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 56, with wind out of the southeast gusting to near 35. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, our low down to 50. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, breezy, warmer with scattered thunderstorms and a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. The UW system made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
With Pam Yonke.
From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Friday morning. You know, people think of Wisconsin agriculture largely as cows and crops, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. We're talking about it with Paul Dittman. He is the director of emerging markets for Compure Financial, and he literally looks at financing everything but cows and crops. He's going to explain a little bit more about how they help to bring resiliency to rural communities. He's one of our guests as we roll through the hour. Thanks again for joining us, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Today is the 26th day of April. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1986, worst nuclear disaster in history happened in Chernobyl. Large parts of Europe were contaminated when Reactor 4 at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant exploded. I remember I was in college at that time and everybody talking about how far would that nuclear waste spread. Happened on this day back in 1986. On this day in 1982, Rod Stewart gets mugged in Los Angeles. The gunman stole his $50,000 Porsche. He was on Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. Rod Stewart gets mugged on this day in 1982. Happy birthday to First Lady Melania Trump. She is 54. And actress, comedian Carol Burnett, 91 years young. And now you know. Well, we want our dairy operators to know, beginning Monday, that federal mandate goes into effect. If you're going to be moving lactating dairy cows outside the state of Wisconsin, those cows are going to need to be tested for high-path avian influenza virus before they leave. That's a surprise to a lot of dairy operators. We talked about it yesterday with Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski, state veterinarian Darlene Conkle, and Adam Brock in charge of the food safety side of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Conkle says the reason that they're looking specifically at lactating dairy cows is because of the virus and its nature, she explains.
What we've been able to find out in the short period of time we've been dealing with this virus in cattle, it seems that the lactating animals are the highest risk for spread. So we're trying to concentrate on the area that will give us the most information and lessen the risk by requiring negative testing before those animals move state to state, because we know cattle do concentrate the virus in their mammary glands. That's where we're looking at gathering the most information, is from these lactating animals. It could change in the future based on things that we learn about this virus going forward.
That's Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State Veterinarian. The labs will report any positive results to the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They, in turn, will follow up and require the dairy farm to basically tell them where those animals are, where those animals moved. Conkle said she understands this is a surprise for a lot of dairy operators, especially as we get closer to the show season when cattle may cross state lines a couple times in a week. She said that they are trying to minimize at least the financial impact of this testing.
So the cost of the test itself is being covered by APHIS to encourage more testing and try to alleviate some of the burden. A dairy farmer's life may change by having to plan a little bit ahead for moving lactating animal to another state. So contact with their veterinarian is important to set up testing and give time for negative results to be received. We're getting more information from our lab on what those turnaround times can can expect to look like. They are pretty rapid turnaround times for this test. At this point, Wisconsin has not put in additional requirements for moving cattle within Wisconsin.
Dr. Darlene Conklar, Wisconsin State Veterinarian. Adam Brock, in charge of the Food Safety Division at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, says he wants to reassure consumers the dairy supply is safe.
We've all kind of seen these articles about the virus being detected in milk, and I would emphasize the virus fragments they're finding are inactivated. So it's not viable virus. Pasteurization works. Even though we find the fragments of the virus, it's inactive, and we continue to work with our national federal partners on these kind of questions. So things are ongoing. I would not be concerned about the milk supply. Pasteurization works. It continues to work, and we'll keep the industry engaged and notified if we hear of anything else.
There you have it. The latest on high path avian influenza in our dairy population. Again, mandated testing for any of those lactating dairy cows that are going to be crossing state lines as of Monday. The bottom line from Dr. Conkle is contact your veterinarian if you've got questions, if you know that your animals are going to be traveling, if you've got sales scheduled, whatever it is, make sure that you're talking with your veterinarian today.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed. The fluid milk for May that goes into cheese, currently up 7 at $18.25. The June Class 3 milks up 8 at $18.28. December corn's down a penny right now at $4.75. November soybeans down a penny at $11.74. The July wheat, 3.5 cents lower right now at $6.17 a bushel. Let's introduce you to another one of our finalists to become Wisconsin Alice in Dairyland. This young woman was intimidated by farmers when she was young. Haley Heinzel grew up in Oconomowoc and says getting past that intimidation and finding her love for agriculture is what inspires her to be a candidate today.
I grew up really far from a farm, actually. I didn't see a cow until I was 16 years old. So for me, agriculture is such an important part of my life, but it didn't start until about 2018.
Yeah.
So I got into ag through FFA in high school. I had this idea of what farmers looked like in my head, and I didn't join FFA till my junior year because I was so intimidated by what real farmers looked like. That's how I got into milking cows. And then when you're not a farm kid and you say you want to work with cows for the rest of your life, they tell you to be a large animal vet. So I started by going to UW River Falls for a bachelor's degree in dairy science, and then COVID happened, and I had to kind of reevaluate how long I wanted to spend in school. So that was when I made the shift, and I decided to apply for the Farm and Industry Short Course program at Madison, and I graduated there at the last class of students they had there at UW-Madison. So that was where I got to meet you for the first time, which was very fun. And then, while I was there, Jennifer Blazek, the director, she encouraged me to continue my studies, so I reapplied to Madison for an undergraduate degree in dairy science, continuing on that vet track, and that is when I met Alice that summer, right before I started at Madison, thank you, at the Wisconsin State Fair while working in Dairy Lane, and seeing her and seeing her work and how she's able to impact people made such a big impact on me, and I went into that fall at Madison, and I decided to change my major to communications, life sciences communications, to be able to connect with consumers. I love cows, but I realize I really love people. And I love working with people and being able to connect with consumers young and old, urban and rural, and that is where my passion lies. So now I'm finishing up my degree in May, and we'll kind of see where that takes me next.
Right. Yeah, that is an interesting background. When you started, first I got to ask you, why did you think farmers were intimidating?
You know, I think when you grow up not on a farm, everyone's like, well, it's an old man. He's sitting on a tractor. He's, you know, chewing on his little piece of straw. And farmers looked like everyone else. And that was what I didn't realize. Anyone can be a farmer.
Yeah.
And for me, it just was so intimidating going into an FFA classroom full of a bunch of farmer boys.
Yeah. Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc, currently a senior on the UW-Madison campus, getting ready to graduate in May. with a degree in life science communications. She's been active on the UW-Madison campus as well. She's involved with the Babcock House Student Cooperative. She's involved in the Science Communication Club, the UW Polo Club, also serves on the board of the Wisconsin Agriculture and Life Sciences Alumni Association. So Haley definitely stays busy, and she's looking forward to seeing more of Door County and hopefully more about Wisconsin agriculture. Haley Heinzel. Monday, we'll introduce you to another one of our finalists. Remember, it's a week from today when those six finalists will make their way to Door County to begin the final phase of the interview process to become Alice in Dairyland. They'll be in front of a panel of judges basically all the time, monitoring them on their tours and then conducting one-on-one interviews with each one of those finalists. On Saturday evening, next Saturday evening in Sturgeon Bay, we will find out who our next Alice in Dairyland is. You can follow along, aliceindairyland.com, or our own Carrie Mess is going to be in the audience next Saturday to give us the latest on the Alice in Dairyland finale. She'll be posting at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. So take a look and get following all of those channels. Coming up next, you know, Haley talked about the diversity of agriculture we've got in Wisconsin. Some of that agriculture gets more attention than others. What if you've got a good idea, but you're working in a very small segment of Wisconsin agriculture? You need some like-minded soul to talk to. Well, that like-minded soul is on the way. Paul Dittman with Compure Financial is in charge of emerging markets for Wisconsin agriculture. What is it? What's it all about? He's next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow Is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
Monday, April 29th on Nightlight, I welcome on Milwaukee.com entertainment reporter Matt Miller to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival and civic media reporter and personality Melissa Kay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9. Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Wisconsin agriculture, that doesn't get all the attention. When people think about agriculture in the state, they think cows and crops. But in reality, we've got a very diverse agriculture population out there. A lot of great ideas, too. But sometimes finding the financing for those great ideas to move forward can be challenging. Let's introduce you to Paul Dittman. He is with Compure Financial, and he's in what they call the emerging markets area. focusing in on those good ideas to take Wisconsin agriculture maybe in a new direction. Paul, tell me a little bit about what the emerging markets goal is for Compeer.
So our program is called the Emerging Markets Program, and it's a program for farmers who market products directly to consumers or do something in value-added agriculture, whether it's value-added production, processing, or marketing. So we look at a lot of different types of enterprises. Pretty much anything outside of traditional commodity production falls under our bailiwick. So we work with vineyards. We work with small-scale meat processors. We work with people who are marketing meat direct to consumers, CSA operations, growing vegetables and marketing direct to consumers, all sorts of different things. You name it, we've probably either got it in our portfolio or we've at least looked at a business plan for it.
How many years? I remember when you transitioned into this position, and at first it was like, you got a job description, but really it was kind of, you had to evolve into it. Tell me a little bit about how long you've been doing this and how things have changed or evolved.
Yeah, we started the program 6.5 years ago, and we started with zero in the portfolio. We designed the program sort of from scratch. And today we're over $31 million in the portfolio. We've made over 300 loans. Average loan, pretty small. I mean, you can tell from those numbers, we make loans anywhere from $5,000 to over $1 million. But most of our stuff is pretty small scale. A lot of our folks are first-generation farmers. They didn't grow up on a farm. They decided that farming was their calling, and they decided to become farmers. Some are young beginning farmers. Some are older beginning farmers. We have a lot of people who... Yeah, it's the second act. They got to 50, 55 years old. They didn't want to sit in a cubicle anymore. They wanted to do something more meaningful, tangible. They're out growing vegetables or starting a vineyard or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's really interesting the way that things have evolved. I would say COVID was a huge change for our clientele. You know, when COVID hit, it felt like they fell off a cliff. All of a sudden, restaurants are shut down. Farmers markets are shut down. You know, they've got stuff growing in the greenhouse or already planted in the ground, and now all of a sudden there's no market for it. So they had to quickly spin and start selling things online. We had one of our clients that operated a tasting room. Tasting room was shut down. They'd been buying product from local farmers that they were turning into meals in the tasting room. Well, they pivoted and they started doing box deliveries, home deliveries of boxes of produce from the farmers that they were already buying from, which turned into a great business for them. You know, so they had to pivot really fast. Within 2 weeks, change what they were doing completely. And most of them rose to the challenge and got it done.
And like you said, now everybody's used to DoorDash and all the rest of those things after that experience. Paul Dittman in studio with us again. As he said, he is the portfolio manager for a lot of the unique and specialty areas of Compeer's clientele. Are you the only one doing this, Paul, or do they have like-minded souls like you in Minnesota as well as Illinois?
Yeah, there were two of us up until November of last year, and then we hired a third person in Illinois, Sarah Horner, which has been great. Sarah, I was kind of covering Illinois, but not doing a very good job of it. Most of my base is here in Wisconsin. Cy is up in the Twin Cities. Cy Tao, my colleague, works a lot with immigrant minority communities up that direction. But Sarah, being based in Illinois and being able to really develop those relationships with different organizations and working in the city of Chicago with urban agriculture and things like that, it's been fantastic having her with us.
Well, and you know, you start talking about that, and hopefully it's taking the blinders off everybody in the audience about not only what Compeer does, but the potential, the possibilities that are out there. Paul and I were talking and said, you know, we have to help people understand not everybody's going to milk a couple thousand cows. Not everybody's going to run a couple hundred beef or a couple thousand acres. You've got to try to figure out a way to keep some of these things going. And that also plays to Compeer's devotion to rural communities and building resiliency within that community. Why is that such an important staple for the credo, the ethos of Compeer?
Yeah, Compeer really does look at beyond the farm to rural communities and even to urban communities. You know, we work with urban farmers, although our focus is really primarily rural. We have to have vital rural communities. We have to have rural communities that are vibrant. And if we don't, those communities go away. It becomes more costly for all of our farmers when they have to travel 50 miles to buy groceries or to get fertilizer or whatever it is that they need. So having those local communities being really vibrant, providing non-farm income. You know, non-farm income is really important to everyone. Mm-hmm. farmers and non-farmers alike. And so being able to have local communities that are really strong, really vibrant, dynamic, you know, we are financing some small-scale meat processing plants, and we do financing of small-scale cheese plants and all sorts of different types of value-added businesses that can be really important to small rural communities.
Right. Paul Dittman, he is the director of emerging markets for Compure Financial here in the state of Wisconsin. And one brand new announcement just made by Compure Financial yesterday, they are now making monies available for farmers markets across the state, a grant program designed both for the organization that kind of starts the farmers market, as well as the vendors that are involved in farmers markets all across the state. Just another way that they are trying to revitalize, re-energize, and add resilience to our rural communities across the state. You can find out more at Compure.com. Compure.com. That's not just about the grant programs, but that's also offices available near you. All right. That'll do it for us on a Friday. Again, Rainfall Reporters, look forward to your contributions for the show on Monday. In the meantime, don't forget, more information available at MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe, and Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Have a good weekend.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Which farmers are likelier to invest in the newest ag technologies? Find out today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
If you think younger farmers would tend to be the first to pay for new ag tech, you'd probably have a lot of people who'd agree with that. Ben Gist was part of the team at Farm Journal who surveyed farmers about new tech.
We looked at tech adoption across a number of different factors, by age, by farm size, by income, things like that. And I expected to see a trend where age was a kind of a good predictor of tech adoption, but that actually wasn't the case. Age was a pretty poor predictor of it. Rather, it was farm scale and resources that were the best predictors of that adoption and enthusiasm to try out these smart farming technologies.
Gist says farmers don't buy new equipment unless they believe the return on investment will justify the expense.
Things that are geared towards optimizing or decreasing input use. So selective spraying, whether drone or others, as well as today, variable rate application either promised to optimize the same amount of input or enable a more efficient and potentially less use of inputs.
There's a link to that smart farming report on the show info page at NorthshoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, stop by on a TGIF edition. That's thank goodness it's Friday. Our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World stops by with a week in review. Wacky things humans do.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Across the country, chaos and arrests as campus protests against the war in Gaza swell. That was a sound at Emory University.